Hey there. Welcome to Urban Village Church. You're joining the live stream of our worship gathering. I'm Darren Calhoun, and I'm thrilled to have you join us today. Whether you're a familiar face or new to our community, we're so grateful that you're here. At Urban Village Church, we're all about being bold, inclusive, and relevant. And if you're new here, let me tell you why that matters. First, boldness is in our DNA. We are not afraid to ask tough questions, to challenge the norms, and explore new possibilities. We believe that faith is a journey of growth and exploration. So get ready to dive deep and open your heart to some fresh perspectives. Inclusivity is at the core of who we are. No matter where you're from, how you identify, or what life experiences you've had, you are welcome here. We celebrate the wild and wonderful differences that make each of us unique. You belong in this community, just as you are. And finally, we strive to be relevant. What we do as a church should connect with your everyday life. Our messages dig deep into real life issues, and our times of worship are intentional about meeting you right where you are. Our aim is to provide inspiration and practical insights anchored by the love of Jesus that you can apply to your own journey. So, as we continue with our worship gathering, I want to invite you to engage with us right now. Join in the conversation in the chat. Share your questions and share your thoughts, or just say hi. After the sermon, we'll sometimes have a Q&A session where you can share your thoughts, ask questions, and explore the message further. So keep your phone or keyboard handy. We also have an app and a digital connect card for you to fill out. It's a great way for us to get to know you better and for you to stay connected to the UBC community. You can find the link in the description or scan the QR code on your screen. So, let's dive in together. Open your heart, join the chat, ask questions, and fill out the digital connect card. We're excited to journey with you and co-create a vibrant community of love and support. Welcome to Urban Village Church.
So good to me. my sister, my brother.
You've been
so good. My mother, my father, my sister, my brother, you've been so good. My mother, my father, my sister, my brother, you've been so good. My mother, my father, my sister, my brother, you've been so good.
Thank you, Lord.
I want to thank you.
Your vocal leader here at High Park Woodlawn. Good morning, here and online. Yeah. Hey y'all. Alongside of Rico, who's on keys today, we got John in the back on guitar. He's also singing. Don't worry. Yeah. We got LV and we got Brandon.
Hello, hello, hello.
Good morning. I know, right? The crew is back. If you all are able, can you please stand and join us as we start off with prayer? God, thank you for waking us up on this beautiful morning, this Sunday morning. So many people wanted to be here but could not. And for those things, we are keeping them in our hearts. Continue to guide them. Sometimes storms won't have you seeing clearly, but you know the end, and the end is greater than anything we could ever think. Continue to guide Grant's words as he leads us today in sermon. In your precious name we pray. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
This next song says, I'm healed. I got a story to tell. I know everybody got a testimony in here.
Man,
and
amen,
online.
Amen.
But you're still here.
Man.
Got a story to tell you about some things that I've been through. But I'm here, oh, I'm here. Had some ups and some downs, level to the ground. But I'm here, oh, I'm here. Had to rest so long ago, wondering what went wrong. But I'm here, oh, I'm here. Had some sunshine and some rain. Mending. I'm holding down.
Next song says, you're never lost. You never lost the battle, God. You can do all things but fail, God. Never lost.
You never lost the battle. the battle. No, you never lose the battle.
right. I can move around. All right. I would recommend it. I have it saved on my Spotify. It's a good playlist. So, Faith in Action, UBC is working with some local organizations around a few issues here. You can see homelessness, immigration, and Palestine. So if you are interested, you can sign up at the link below, ubc.churchcenter.com/people/forms/682327. That's an interesting number. I don't know. I didn't come up with that, but. Okay, well, not many announcements today, but we are at the time of sharing a peace. So when Jesus returned to his disciples many years ago, he said, "Peace be with you." And so we want to share with each other a sign of peace today. You may have noticed on your name tags that some name tags have colors on them. There's red, yellow, and green for stoplight colors. If you see red, the person probably wants to keep some distance. Maybe you can do a wave or, I don't know, a distance fist bump maybe. But yellow, you could do, maybe just ask the person before you approach. And then green, they're ready for a hug or handshake or high five or whatever you want to do. So with that being said, the peace of Christ be with you.
Start making your way back to, oh wow, that was abrupt. Okay, you could start right making your way back to your seats. I was thinking more of a fade. It was like a cut. No, it's all good. We are going to have our scripture reading for this morning. I'm glad we were able to share the peace of Christ with one another, though. That's always a good sign when the peace is high, right? So to God be the glory. All right. Our scripture reading comes from John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. You may stand if you like and are able. So, yes, here we are. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. May God add a blessing to the hearing and reading of the scripture.
Now, just a little bit. There we go. All right. Good morning, good morning, good morning to everybody here. Good morning to everyone tuning in. I'm going to readjust. All right. So, I'm Grant Crusoe, resident Hyde Park Woodlawn pew dweller since 2013. Is that it? That's been a little minute. Yeah, and I'm here on behalf of Dr. Lightsey, guest preaching today. So thank you to Dr. Lightsey for the invitation. Before we get going, let's open with the word of prayer. Thank you, God, for the precipice of another week. Thank you for time to gather again once more. Thank you for the opportunity to share the peace of Christ with one another. Let our hearts and our ears be open to what you would have us to hear, and be ready to implement what we hear out in the world and in our respective places after this time again. With the glory, the honor, and the praise, in Jesus' name, amen. So we're starting a new sermon series, focusing on watershed moments and thinking more about that in context of environment. The term watershed, we think of it today as like kind of turning points or when something goes from one thing to another. But it comes from the concept of thinking about where water comes from and like apex points at a mountain where like water is diverging from one source into kind of multiple different streams, right? So thinking about watershed in that context throughout the sermon series, today we'll be focusing a little bit more on water itself, but thinking about the environment as a whole and God's creation as a whole and our connection to God's creation and the role we have to play in God's creation as well. So I'll be talking a little bit about that today. I stand back here if you all still hear me. I know I have the loudest. All right. So I like to start off keeping things very simple because people's attention spans today. Very, 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 very. So, I like to do what in public speaking they like teach you to do at the beginning is to tell people what you're going to tell them. Tell them the thing, and tell them what you told them, and then I'm going to have a seat. So, I'm going to give you the too long didn't listen version, and then like you can figure out if you still want to tune in or not. So, I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm going to tell you. Two things we're going to cover. Everything costs something. This ain't about just. Everything costs something. Ain't about just you. It's about you, but not just you. So, our working title for this sermon today is I've Got Work to Do. So we talked a little bit about the sermon series and focusing on kind of environment and ecological concerns and all that. But this could be really simple. Like, we could boil this down to take care of the environment, don't be a dummy. Throw things away where they should be thrown away, go home, amen, right? Like, we could just be done right there. But obviously, there's more to it than that. So we're going to dig into it. So what is that? What else is there? Why is this important? What does it mean? And how does it connect back to this text? Glad you asked. That's what we're going to do today and dig into. So our passage for today comes from the Gospel of John. And John is really interesting in that John is very focused on work, but also like action. So, you know, all of the Gospels contain elements of like high theological concepts and things about Jesus and Jesus' life, of course. But John is like particularly focused on like, okay, but like, what is the thing we're going to do? What is the thing God is doing? What is the thing Jesus is doing? What is the thing I need to do or we need to do? So in some ways, in like today's people, you could say John is about that action. John wants to see it happen, right? John has some like very pointed perspectives about how we need to be about that action too. We'll get into that a little bit. Even in verse 16 through 18, can you bring that back up for just a second? So in the latter half of our kind of passage today, we see it mentioned, I think it was about like five times in total nine verses about Jesus laying down Jesus' life. We talk about this Good Shepherd. Let's back up. Good Shepherd. Good Shepherd Sunday. Why are we even talking about this passage, right? So typically, you know, it used to be every third Sunday after Easter, but now every fourth Sunday after Easter, we talk about this like Good Shepherd thing. What does that even mean? The sermon series, well, not the sermon series, but the Sunday focusing on like vocation and work and how that pertains to the work God has called or has for us to do, right? And so that's where we orient ourselves and how we were talking about this Good Shepherd passage in John, right? But in this passage, Jesus is like repeatedly saying, you know, I lay down my life, you know, this is the cost that it is for me to do the work I have been tasked with God to do. More often than the actual work, we hear about the cost of it. So the work is, you talk about bringing this fold together, this flock together that Jesus is talking about. Yeah, I got, you know, some folks over here. I got some other folks who are not of this flock. You know, that's Jesus' work, is unifying folks, right? We only hear that talked about one time, this whole passage. But the rest of the time, Jesus is spending time telling us about what it costs to do that. Now, this isn't like Jesus bragging and saying, like, oh, look at me, I'm so great, I'm taking all this cost for y'all. But it's Jesus hammering home the point that, again, everything costs something. And while, you know, grace is freely given, it wasn't, like, free to give. So, you still there? You with me that everything costs something? All right. I like to check in with folks, too, so if you hear me asking you questions, I'm checking to make sure. But I also want to make sure it's sinking in, okay? So John is driving home this point. You know, this is the cost of the work that he has to do for God that he's been tasked with, right? Now, just as John is about that action and John wants us to like be about that action, so is Jesus. So how do we even get to chapter 10? So we got to back up to chapter 9 a little bit. Because the reason we even got here is because Jesus was being about that action, right? Jesus is going around still healing people on the Sabbath. Now, he's done this before in other places and other gospels. This time, Jesus healed man who was blind, which we could talk about the ableist language and like, I gotta give y'all some context. So they saw blindness as like you were born into like deep sin, like your parents did something really wrong and really bad, right? And so this man has been born blind, he's been blind his whole life. Sabbath day, Jesus rolls upon him, lots of things happen, sends him to a pool, spits on the ground, wipes on the guy's face, which is just rude, but like, all right. Wipes it on his face, tells him to go wash in the pool, comes back, the man can see, right? But all this happened on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees are not about that particular act. They are upset. So, they go to this man, they say, who healed you? How did this happen? It's the Sabbath. He tells them about Jesus. They are not trying to hear it because they already are upset about Jesus talking about him, the Messiah. They go to this man's parents. They are incredulous. They're like, nah, we're not even believing you. We need to go to the people who birthed you to know that you were actually going blind. So one of my seminary professors, Dr. Jennifer Brooks, always talks about like there's trouble in the play. I like to add to that and say there's always some drama in the play. You want a soap opera? Read the Bible. So here's where it gets a little dramatic. So they go to this man's parents, and they're like, all right, he told us about the Jesus thing, but we are not even believing. We need to know from you. Was he really born blind or not? And they said, yes. And they said, well, how did this happen? It's like, well, you can ask him. Like, he can tell you. He's grown. He's of age. He has, you know, sound mind. He can tell you. Now, that's where the drama is. Tell you, he'll be the one to express that allegiance, and then, like, y'all can kick him out, but not us. So that was a little bogus that they did their own son like that, but they still got the point across that, yes, he was born blind, and it validated everything that this man had said up to that point. So, of course, they go ahead and kick him out, because Pharisees just cannot deal with this Jesus character, right? So that brings us up to chapter 10, and where Jesus comes to advocate for this man, to the point of, like, getting ready to be stoned. And so Jesus has to lay out this case for, like, one, they missed the whole point of the healing on the Sabbath, which is a whole other sermon, but Jesus trying to break down these walls, break down these structures, like Ashley sang about, breaking down these walls to bring people in a little bit more, right? So Jesus is kicking up dust, still healing people on the Sabbath. They kick the guy out. Jesus is like, all right, I need to break this down a little bit further about the work I have to do, because I think you all are still misunderstanding me. It's where we end up in chapter 10, right? Still with me? Still awake? All right. We know it costs something. We heard about the cost. We see what it's costing this one man who had been healed, and now we're seeing the cost of Jesus' work to do and how that connects to us. And I promise you, we're going to come back to the environment a little bit. We're also going to come back to Avatar: The Last Airbender, so just stay with me. And if you don't know who or what Avatar Last Airbender is and you're thinking about some blue people, no. Stay with me. We're going to get there. So we get to seeing about this cause. But we do need to take a sermonic side journey for just a minute. For those not familiar with, like, video game nomenclature, side journeys are, like, not the actual level that you're playing, but, like, a little bonus level or a little thing off to the side, and then you go back to the real level. So we're going to take a sermonic side journey for just a hot second. So when we think about the world we live in today, and it's not, in some ways it's very different, of course, from the time that Jesus was walking around and healing people on the Sabbath, but in some ways humans are not that different. And as the case it was with the Pharisees, and the reason they were even getting ready to stone Jesus, one, they just were not having it about him talking about he was the Messiah. Because that interrupted their power structure and their stewardship over certain resources that they thought they were best fit to steward, right? And it, in this way, is somewhat disappointing, but we haven't changed much in that. There are, all, as much as there is need, there's always going to be someone who feels particularly offended when someone else is getting their need met. Particularly people who believe themselves to be owners of that particular resource that a certain person needs. We see it in our own city here in Chicago. There are countless people who are experiencing homelessness, and there are countless number of other people who are working to end that for folks and constructing different structures and the whole orange tent thing that has been going back and forth in our own city to protect people from the elements that we're gonna talk about throughout the sermon series. And yet, there are people fighting these people who are trying to help meet the need of someone else. And so I just want to, like, bring us on that side journey and bring us back to keep that in the back of our minds as we go through the sermon today, but also throughout the rest of the sermon series, thinking about, one, yes, the ways that we are connected to our environment and the ways that we're connected to God's creation, but think about also who is upset when somebody's need is being met. And it's probably somebody who thinks themselves to be in power or in ownership of a resource that God has not given them ownership of, but merely stewardship over it. We'll come back to this ownership thing towards the end in a little bit. So we ended the side journey. We're back on the regular level. We're signed up. We're running to collect the rings. We're back on the Green Hill zone, all right? All right. So we know the cost. We talked a little bit about how things cost things and what it's costing Jesus and his ministry. I've experienced a very tiny bit of this. connected to the environment, though, recently I was telling Jane, my wonderful fiance here, hey, Jane. I was telling Jane recently, so I moved this week, and I'm still in the process of moving. And one of the most backbreaking parts of my move experience is always records. Some of y'all know I love music, I love collecting records, I used to sell records, I have way too many records, right? And I was just telling Jane recently, I was like, you know, I think this is the last time I'm gonna do this. Like, this is, one, it's breaking my back, but it just really made me think about what is a need? And what need is being met by me having, and in some cases, hoarding all this stuff? Is there a way to still enjoy this in a way that's more sustainable for my life, but also more sustainable for the environment? So let me give you some very, very, very niche, very nerdy facts about vinyl records, right? We just see these discs and we think, oh, they're from the 70s, 80s, whatever. They're from way, way back. But also, to put it, to truncate it a bit, the process of making records is very environmentally intensive. And I don't think people know just how environmentally intensive it is. So to put this in context, these big steam pressing machines use steam, right? So there's an environmental impact right there of just using steam to literally press records. There's a company here, I'm not gonna give any like shout outs, whatever, this is not sponsored, but there's a company here in Chicago that's trying to do something about that using a process that doesn't use steam, basically, which is cool, right? But it could take up to 22 liters of water just to cool off one record. 22 liters just to cool off one record that has been pressed, right? Now you think about the thousands of records that get pressed every day. All those Beyonce records, all those Tay-Tay records that just came out the other day, people getting them Target, right? All that stuff has a huge environmental impact, and we don't really see it because these things happen in big factories and other places, but it made me have to step back once I learned about this. As a person who used to sell records, like, wait a minute. Not only am I, like, buying this stuff and hoarding and breaking my back trying to move this stuff all across the place, but now, like, I'm participating in a system that could be, like, tearing our planet apart. We think about, like, access to water, which we'll come back to in a second, but just like, what kind of water was that that was needed? Was this potable water? Could people have used this for drinking, or could they have used this for bathing? Yeah, all the questions, right? And so I had to start asking myself some of these questions, and we'll get back to some questions you need to ask yourselves and yourselves at the end of this as well about your participation in something that has an environmental impact. Now that's just a small example, right? Records are important to me, but to like 99% of people on the planet, they're not that important, right? But it does still have an impact, and it does still beg the question around, well, where, if that's like a small thing in my life, what are like some other like bigger things happening around me that are also just as impactful on the environment, particularly around water usage, that we really need to be paying attention to? And so a couple things came to my mind. One, just about, I've been hearing a lot about this, basically this alfalfa farm in Arizona, which sounds wild, right? Arizona, dealing with droughts of all kinds, has an alfalfa farm, one of the most water-greedy plants there is, right? So, well, why does Arizona have... Yes. All right. Made alfalfa upset. Sorry about that, about to get to a little truth, and they wanted to block the truth out for a second. So there's it is a Saudi-owned farm, and they had a lease with the state to say, hey, give us this water, basically. We'll pay you more than these farmers who really need this water can pay you. And they've been doing it for a long time. Meanwhile, like farmers who were trying to provide food for their own communities there could not do it, which had all kinds of cascading effects, right? So just recently, like late last year, the state finally decided to like stop this lease to this alfalfa farm. And the reason they wanted this alfalfa was to feed livestock so that they could have beef and have cattle in a place that doesn't grow alfalfa. So not only are we growing alfalfa in a climate that should not be growing it, we are now flying it halfway around the globe, burning up jet fuel just to like feed some livestock, right? That's just one example. There are many, many more. We all, if we don't know about what's happening in Flint, it has been happening in Flint, Michigan for a long time around water access. please go educate yourself there. But an additional thing in Michigan around water access, just people having their water shut off for inability to pay the water bill. In the city, like rampantly going around, thousands of people getting cut off daily for what we would deem as like minor like infractions financially. But for someone in a tough position and can't pay it, it's been huge. And again, only recently, late last year, they've been like shamed into doing a little something a little bit better about it. Not even affordability, but just payment plans, right? So the fight still needs to go on there. But I bring these things up to say there have always been fights around water and water access. That is as old as humans, and unfortunately it still continues. With all our technology, with all our greatness, all our degrees, and all our stuff, we are still fighting over water. I have some thoughts about a certain war that is happening that I think is more about water than anything else, but come to me afterwards, we'll talk about that. So it is our part of our collective work to do, not just thinking about our needs, right? Like I had a need, I love music, I wanna get my records, right? Brandon may have a need, John has a need, everybody has individual needs, right? But we have to work to see ourselves as part of this good shepherd work that Jesus was talking about. Jesus could have easily said, you know what, I'm the shepherd over these sheep. I'm gonna keep the wool for me. I'm gonna keep the milk for me, right? But what are the cascading effects of hoarding that? That, number one, is like not what Jesus was tasked with doing. So now he's being disobedient to God. But two, now there's some people who may not have the warmth they need, may not have the nutrients and the nurturing they need because of that flock not being tended to properly, shepherded, or cared for properly. We all have like a flock somewhere in our lives, something that we need to be tending to that reaches well beyond us. It has cascading effects when we don't take care of it properly, right? And in that, when we start to see ourselves as connected to one another, and the things that we've been tasked with shepherding have a connection to other people, and other people need us to be about that action, be about our work, right? To do what we've been tasked with doing so that their needs are met. Now we can start to see the interdependence that God has created amongst all the creation, not just humans, right? So I need the ivy that's growing on the side of our garage for some reason. I don't know. I need bees, kinda. Not really, but, you know, we need bees, right? I just don't need them to sting me, but we need the bees. I need the grass. I need the trees. I need Lake Michigan, right? Folks in Arizona need their water. Folks in Michigan need their water. We all have a need somewhere, but when we start to tie our needs together and see how they're connected to one another, that draws us together and closer to God. So, we saw the cost. We see how our needs are connected to one another and how it's not just about us, even though we do have individual needs. I want to close with what I promised about Avatar: Last Airbender. Now, just by show of hands, how many folks are familiar with Avatar: Last Airbender? Oh, this is going to be easy. Great. Okay. So for those who are not, I'll give you like a 10-second. It was the greatest cartoon ever, right? That's basically all you need to know. But great not just because it was a good cartoon, but great because it held a lot of really cool life lessons and life bits of wisdom packed into a cartoon that you just would never have expected. It wasn't really tied to any one faith or any one practice, but implemented all different sorts of it, right? So they just, Netflix was working for years to like turn this into like a live-ish action thing with like actual humans and not cartoon humans. And they did, and I won't give much of it away, but there's one episode in particular where in the first season where main protagonist Aang, this little guy, he's actually 100 years old. That's a whole other story, but 100 years old, he's walking around. He's the Avatar tasked with bringing balance to all of creation. One person, right? But he realizes, like, I'd be a dummy to try to do this by myself. I need everybody. I need the Fire Nation. I need the Earthbenders. I need the Waterbenders. Everybody has their part to play. I'm just here kind of like shepherding my way through it, but I don't own any of it. He runs into a little issue with the Fire Nation because they believe they own it. Now, again, there's always some drama. So they believe they own it. There's lots of fights. Fire Nation's running around conquering people. And they're all looking to Aang to, like, help because he's the shepherd. He's the one that has the power to help out. And he hits an inflection point. He hits a watershed moment, if you will, of in the middle of an oncoming fight with the Water Nation. They are protectors of all the water of the whole planet. And Fire Nation's coming. We don't care. We're wiping them out. We want the land. We want the water. It's ours. Aang says, you know what? Listen, I'm used to, like, being trapped away in an ice bubble for 100 years. I could just go, right? Like, I don't really want to fight. I don't really have to do this. But he comes to his senses and realizes, no, this is kind of what I'm here for, is to help protect these resources for these people. And if I don't protect it for them, so many other people are going to be hurt in a way. Now, I'll leave it there. I want you to go see how Aang decided to help out. Some of y'all already know the story. So I would invite you to go find somebody else in here who doesn't know the story, talk with them afterwards, and you can see how that all works out. Whether you're thinking about Aang, I would want you to draw that illustration back to Jesus. Aang is not Jesus. He's not the savior of the world, but we all have a part to play. And we're thinking about our environment. I hear you too. We cannot sit idly by. John is reminding us in our passage today that just as Jesus had work to do, we have work to do too. We have a responsibility, and someone else is depending on us to do our part and do it faithfully and do it well. And it costs something to do our part. So I invite you to consider that, and I want to leave you with a couple questions as you think about your part to play. The first is, how are you considering the ways that you are having an environmental impact that is outsized based on your need? So what ways are your environmental impact far expanding way past your need being met, right? And then thinking about as you're going along the way of meeting your needs this week, just this week, not your whole life, let's just chunk it up, just this week, thinking about how your needs being met connect to the needs of other people and who's depending on you to do your part faithfully as you go through this week. Let this be a blessing to you. Let this be a blessing to you. And let's go give God some glory this week as we consider our impact in the world around us. Amen. All right. Couple things. One, we have a brief moment of time where we reflect back and honor God with our gifts. In this particular part of the service, financial. If you consider yourself a part of the UVC community or have been blessed and are able, we would invite you to consider how you might give in that way. As you can see here on the screen and on the screen for those viewing online, there are ways to text your gift in that way. The second thing is we would normally have communion, but in light of Dr. Lysi's absence, we would not be having communion today. So please do come back next week. And before we move on, I do want to just invoke a slight moment of reflection on what we heard today, and then we'll have Rico and Ashley take us out. Thank you.
Thank you, Grant, for giving today's word. If you all are able in person, can you all stand as we close today's service with Never Lost?
Yes.
Person and online. Thank you.